Hi, this is Steve Guppy, and I'm going to be reading a section of a story called Motels of the Northwest, a Guidebook, Part 1, the Avonlea Auto Court, Coquitlam, B.C. The motel is right where it should be. Even in the dark, it's no problem to find it. You come down off the exit ramp, and there it is, right beside the river. The parkway's new, of course, and the exit ramp and cloverleaf and all that, but the basic terrain hasn't changed. I park between a couple of beaters and have a look around for Unit 11. This is perfect, I'm thinking, meeting up with my sister in a roadside motel. Carlene and I grew up in transit. Hey, Carly, I whisper while I rap at the door, even though I know she can't hear me. There's some scratching sounds from inside the unit while Carlene gets the night chain figured out. The next thing, she's opening the door. Carlo, she says, without inflection. Yeah, sure, how you doing? She steps back to let me into the unit. The warmth of the oil burner hits me, and there's a whole bunch of smells I remember from a long time ago. Lino and heating oil, stale cigarette smoke, and pine sol. Carlene and I stand there and check each other out, the both of us making adjustments. She's pretty much the same as I remember, shorter than me by half a foot, with the downturned mouth she got from Mum, and the doubting gaze I remember from our father. Her hair is that jazzy neon red the punker girls go in for. It looks a little out of step, Carlene being 45 and all that. She's put on a pound or two, but she still looks okay. I suck in my gut and try smiling. You remember the smokes? Carlene asks. Sure, I say, rummaging through the pockets of my coat. Menthols, right? Craven M? King size? She nods, but has apparently lost interest. I toss the pack of cigarettes on the Arborite table and follow her through the kitchenette and into the living room slash bedroom. You been to see Mum? I ask. She okay? This is all stuff I don't want to get into, subjects of purely historical interest, but I feel I should make conversation. This morning, she says, we're driving down to Butchie's place tomorrow. Oh, yeah? Yeah, it's April 10th today, Wednesday. Butchie will be 40 tomorrow. True fact, I say. 40? True fact, Carlene says. Carlene and I are fraternal twins, born 23 minutes apart in the spring of 1953, on the same day as the first ascent of Everest. While our mother was screaming strapped to a gurney, Edmund Hillary and his Sherpa guide were struggling through ice fog hundreds of feet above their base camp, relentlessly ascending toward the summit. As they hacked at the ice for footholds, she shrieked and rolled her eyes, all the gravity of the earth balled up inside her. Carlene appeared first, tearing our mother's tissues with the violence of her birth. I was wheedled out with forceps, lank and jaundiced. While we winced beneath the glacial sky of the incubator's bulb, Sherpa Tenzing caught his first glimpse of the apex. They've arrived, the attending nurse informed the physician. They were saying it on the radio in the lunchroom just now. Me and Betty had a smoke there and heard it. Well, that's cause for celebration, the doctor replied, dropping the bloodied forceps into the kidney dish pooled with blood and placenta. Who's arrived? Our mother managed to say, her mind fogged from altitude sickness. Why, the Everest party, of course, dear, the nurse replied, tucking the sheet more tightly around our mother's milk-filled breasts. Which one of the babies do you want to see first? Neither, our mother would have said, if she'd been capable of forming the concept. The arrival of her children alarmed her, that such terrible plenitude could issue from her body. Sex, which she'd naively envisioned as a kind of communion, had paradoxically shattered the world into two equal pieces, each of them ruled by a mad, shrieking god. She closed her eyes and gasped for air, unable to draw sufficient breath from the attenuated atmosphere of the summit. Relax, the nurse told her, cupping an oxygen mask to her face. You'll catch on to feeding them in no time. Our mother inhaled pure oxygen, the roots of her dyed blonde hair boiling, and clung to the top of the coverlet against the buffeting of stratospheric winds.